Welcome to our Farming Water Scotland podcast series. Over this series, we're looking at various mitigation options, guidance and farming experience to help manage and improve water quality on farm in the surrounding area. You can listen back to all previous episodes in this series and other podcasts we produce for Farming Water Scotland on any podcast provider. Today, we're focusing on magic margins, discussing what they are and how they can benefit farms throughout Scotland. I'm Fiona Salter, an environmental consultant for SEC Consulting and host for today's podcast. Today we're joined by David Baldwin, who works at the James Hutton Institute as a plant-soil interactions researcher in a project, Achieving Multipurpose Nature-Based Solutions, which is funded by the Scottish Government. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the invite and thank you for the opportunity to discuss together magic margins and our research.
First, do you want to describe what magic margins are, just so everyone can get a feel?
Yes. So magic margins are modified field margins with, three D features that can be installed across the bottom of a field on a slope. And these represent barriers against runoff and associated erosion and so loss of nutrients and sediments from the field. And this is achieved creating ridges along the margins, such as the ridges that you can see in a normal potato field. And these are installed along the margins. Then between these ridges, we create smaller ridges, sort of dumps, to stop all the water moving along the margins. So you have two main features in the magic margins. You have main ridges across the bottom of a slope, and then between these ridges, you have some smaller dumps that have the scope to slow down water that otherwise will move throughout the margins and probably pond in at the lowest point on the margins. And all these features are created with a normal farm machinery, so there is no need of any specific equipment. I wanted to highlight this because the entire idea is to have a very simple and cost-effective solution that the farmers can implement.
So anyone can do
farm.
It.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Thank you. Where did the idea initially originate from, and how long has it been in the process?
Yeah, thank you. So this initial idea have been developed by the farm staff at the James Sutton Institute, but they realized that also on fields that have very moderate slopes, so shallow slopes, we still have a significant amount of runoff and erosion. And this also in fields that have a good drainage and generally are well managed. So still an important problem. And so they need to develop, as I say, very simple and cost-effective solution that all farmers can implement in Scotland. This was the original idea. And in general, this is a widespread problem. It's not just in Scotland. Yeah. Erosion is one of the main drivers of soil degradation. On a global level, we already know that 33% around of soils on cropland are degraded.
Did you say 33%.
And in Europe, every year we lose around 1.2 millimeters of topsoil due to erosion. Can seem not a big number. One say, oh, just 1.2 millimeters decrease on topsoil. But if we think that every year soil formation, how much soil we gain each year is 0.01 millimeters. 1.2 millimeters. It starts to be an important number, especially because most of nutrients are in our topsoil, the same in terms of organic matter. Then if we think to climate change and associated increase of intense rain events, this can be also accelerated in future. And in particular in Scotland, most of predictions for climate change agree that we will see an increase of the number and intensity of rain events. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't do nothing, if we don't adapt our farming system, we probably will see potentially see a significant increase of erosion and loss of topsoil. And this has two main consequences for a farming system. First of all, as I say, we lose a soil, we lose topsoil where we have most of our organic matter and nutrients to grow our crops. So potentially we can lose productivity. But then also this excess of nutrients and sediments can be washed out in water bodies where they can induce eutrophication and other problems. So we have an economical cost, we lost productivity. Gene, we needed to compensate with loss for increasing the input of nutrients and, for example, inorganic fertilizers to mm-hmm. a field. And on the other end, we have an environmental cost because these nutrients can have a detrimental effect for water.
Yeah. How the idea stemmed from is just basically trying to keep as much material on farm in the most economical way possible.
Yeah. Yes, yes. This, the idea is to keep as much water on farm, slow down, stop runoff. This, of course, have a positive effect on erosion. Runoff is the main driver of erosion. So we want to keep as much possible the water in the soil on the farm. And then, of course, infiltrate this water in the field margin. Then this water can then be available maybe for the next crop or when is necessary, so if we keep that.
Obviously, the magic margins will help to slow the water, keep soil in the field. What other kind of benefits do these systems, would you call them systems? Mitigation feature provide?
Yes, I will say that this is, let's say, part of a more holistic system, or part of a different mitigation solution that we can have in our farm. Yes, as you mentioned, water regulation, so reducing runoff, water loss from the field is one of the main objectives of magic margins. Then, of course, there is water quality, because if we don't, let's say, reduce runoff and the potential excess of nutrients that can arrive to water bodies from our fields, we increase the quality of water. Then I will say also if we install them between two fields, if we have a field that is on the top of a slope, one that is at the bottom of a slope, and we have our magic margin system between these two fields, meaning that also we prevent fine material from one of the fields, the top one, reaching the second field. And this can have a positive effect because another form of soil degradation is soil capping, where you have a lot of fine material that cover the top of your soil, and that has a detrimental effect for the land because decrease the quality and decrease the soil physical properties. So help maintaining that fine sediments on the top field, or in any case, stopping them to reaching the bottom field, can reduce the risk of soil capping. Then these were, let's say, functional more related to water and water movement. But as the magic margins are vegetated with perennial vegetation, for example, wildflowers, we can use a very diverse vegetation. This can have a positive effect also on biodiversity on a farm. Yeah. And so positive then effects on insects, particular pollinators, also birds, and so all the trophic levels that depends on that plants. Then I will say, if in particular, if we compare them to a normal flat margin, a traditional field margin, where you still can have high diversity because you can also still sow different wildflowers. But the extra benefit that I will say that you have in terms of diversity when you have a field margin with all these ridges, all these 3D features, is that you can create also different microclimates and different habitats for different plants or different insects, as you have the top of a ridge, the bottom of a ridge, and this, of course, have different conditions, so they can help also.
So could you design one specifically for a farm and their biodiversity needs, or say they have a plan of action that they want to increase a certain species on their land? Is it possible to design these so that is possible? Are they quite set in what vegetation needs to be where?
No, they are, as a system, it's quite flexible. For example, also in terms of the number of ridges that we have can be flexible. So depends on how wide is our original margin. So there is a lot of flexibility in that. Then in terms of vegetation and diversity, also in that case, it's very flexible. We have some that have been just vegetated just with grass, with almost just a few species. Others with that we have quite a diverse composition, in particular wildflowers, perennial species. We can use also a different mix of perennial and biennial species. In some, we have also tried to use some woody vegetation. It's a bit more costly in terms of maintenance, but depends what is the scope of a farm and what are the benefits that you want to achieve with that vegetation. And I need to say that different vegetation, different species can bring different benefits or can improve more one benefit or the other. So we can also select one part of our research. A big part of our research is how to select the different species, how to select the different vegetation or this diversity to then provide some functions that are mainly related to water in this case.
You're still in the research phase of this innovative mitigation measure. What challenges and potential success stories have you encountered throughout your journey?
Yeah. So I needed to say that we have a very positive response from the farming community and also from organizations such as, for example, RSPB. So very positive response. Several farmers that visit our Center for Sustainable Cropping are now willing to implement this system on their farm. So positive response. This solution has been also awarded with the RSPB Nature of Scotland Innovation Award in 2016. So very positive in terms of application. Then, if you ask me in terms of challenges, the challenges are more on the research side, as now we want to quantify all these benefits that I mentioned about the diverse species diversity, runoff mitigation. We want to give some numbers. And this is quite complex because if you think, despite being quite easy to establish these margins, they are based on three very complex systems that they interact. Yeah. Climate, soil, and vegetation. And they interact each other. So as you modify them, so okay, you cannot modify the climate, but of course every year you have a different climate, and we are modifying the climate in any case. So we will see more and more extreme events. So how this margin respond? Then, as we have already mentioned, you can use different species, and all of them bring different functions, different ecosystem services to the margins. And also, you can have different soils, some that have higher hydraulic conductivity, so the infiltration will be faster, some that have lower hydraulic conductivity, so maybe you need to adjust this for the margins. And also, the size of the margins, not all the farmers may want to have the same weight of margin. Some may desire a smaller margin. But as I say, it's possible to customize. But then to quantify all these benefits and all of this, considering all this variability, it's quite challenging. I need to say we are doing that, but it's challenging.
No, it's really, because the land with it throughout Scotland is so varied and there's so many variables. Yeah. So you can't do one size fits all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And as they are a vegetated system, throughout your process, what significant differences have you noticed from the vegetation used, like say grasses to wildflowers, that type of, or has it been quite farm, like you've decided to do it quite farm specific? They want this feature focused on, so you apply that vegetation.
Yeah, no, thank you for the questions. Yes, vegetation has a key role. in the magic margins. First of all, the presence of vegetation stabilizes the margins, especially the ridges on the margins. Without vegetation, probably after a few seasons, you will just see the full margin being eroded by the runoff coming from the field. And this is allowed by the root systems that are in the soil. In particular, the fine root system, the fibrous root systems. Then the above ground part of a plant can further help to create this barrier against runoff. Putting them together below ground, the roots and the above ground, we obtain also an effective filter to uptake all the excess of nutrients that are coming from the field. So vegetation has key role. Then it's really a good point that different species or different vegetation types that we have on the margin can have different effects. For example, mentioning, let's say, grasses. Grasses have generally a fibro root systems. So on the margin, they are quite useful to stabilize the soil. They create this composite material between roots and the soil and keep all the soil particles together. So this is very helpful in this case. While, for example, wildflowers and especially biennial species that have a taproot system, an example is like a wild carrot, which is a wildflower. This create channels down the soil, and these channels help help the infiltration of water, increase the mm-hmm. ability of soil to infiltrate water. So different species have different roles. We have been able to then in the lab to take these species and quantify exactly, give some numbers to these different functions. Another important thing is that when we think two different, it's not just the difference between the species, but also the life cycle of individual species. For example, we found that there is an increase of hydraulic conductivity, so of the soil ability to infiltrate water as the roots grow down the soil because they create these channels. But in particular, we have an abrupt increase of soil ability to infiltrate water after the death and the decomposition of the roots, because then we have this empty root channel where water can move. So not just during the life, but also when the plants died or are replaced by other plants, they can still play an important role. Then there is always the effect of diversity. We have never just one species there. We can have just a few or many of them. And so now what we want really to find out is the effect of biodiversity. So of course, we mentioned already that we want also to achieve increased biodiversity within the farm, with this system. So the question now, the big question is, can we combine this benefit, increasing biodiversity, and at the same time deliver, for example, an increase of infiltration in the soil or an increase of erosion control through diversity? So can we gain both aspects?
Trying to make out what is the peak. Would we call it peak the really right word, but the most
the most beneficial combination.
That's the word. Thanks. So water and soil management on farm and retaining, slowing the flow to keep water on farm when it's needed throughout the year is key, especially with the excessive flooding to drought conditions, which are predicted to increase over the years. And that implication on soil loss, which is critical for farms and their longevity and their success and being able to maintain crop production and sustainability moving forward. How can these systems, I know we've talked about it throughout, but how can these systems specifically help farmers with their resistance, I suppose, to climate change?
So the key word here is really system, and we are looking to design holistic system in which magic margins are just part of a system. But in this system, we need to integrate a different nature-based solution, so-called nature-based solution, to adapt the entire farming system to climate change, in particular to deliver an optimal and sustainable management of both water, within the farm, but also nutrients. And so it's not just about magic margin. Magic margin are part of a wider system and should be part of a wider system to fully deliver proper water and nutrients management. First of all, I will say, what you want is reduce the initial input of nutrients if it's not necessary. Or you want to find a nature-based solution that will allow you to reduce this initial input, especially input of synthetic nitrogen and phosphorus. And you can do this, for example, especially for the nitrogen, integrating legumes in the crop rotation. Mm-hmm. So this can save in terms of inputs of synthetic nitrogen through the biological nitrogen fixation provided by legumes. And this has also an important impact on the farm economy, because I have been reported that when we have legumes in rotation, say legume and cereal is in rotation, mm-hmm. during the following crops, when we have, for example, we have cereals after legumes, we have an increase of economical gain in the farm. This because the farmer can use less synthetic nitrogen. Yeah. Synthetic nitrogen that now is increasing in terms of prices, especially yeah. after the invasion of Ukraine. We have quite mm-hmm. an important increase of prices of synthetic nitrogen. So, for example, first of all, we can integrate legumes. Then there is an important role of organic matter. Organic matter has an important role in both in holding nutrients, but also retaining water, increasing yeah. water holding capacity of the soil. We can do this, for example, amending soil with compost. We are looking at this. We are studying this here at the James Sutton Institute. And for example, compost can retain up to 20 times its weight in water, and also little increase of organic matter in the field, for example, 1% increase of organic matter can have huge effects in terms of water holding capacity in the soil. There are some studies that report, for example, that 1% increase of organic matter can translate in 50 liters more available water for plants per each
50 liters
per each cubic meter of soil. So 50 liters of water more that is available for the plants for each cubic meter of soil with just 1% increase of organic matter. Of course, different soils will respond in a different ways. Sandy soil are more responsive than clay soil in terms of increase of organic matter. But in general, yeah, we can see
significant.
There is a significant effect yeah. of increasing organic matter. Before we discuss, we mentioned the role of vegetation. That was our discussion was before was a focus on magic margin, but also we can have, for example, catch and cover crops in the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This can protect the soil, again, can slow down runoff, erosion, can improve soil structure, increase the stability of structure of the soil. So this is all let's say solution that we can bring in the farm. Tillage or no tillage, minimum tillage can have also an important role. Also in this case, we saw an increase of soil structural stability. So the soil is more stable, it's more resistant to erosion in no tillage and minimum tillage system. And also another benefit of no tillage system is that when we leave the crop residues on the top of the soil, this also creates a sort of protection against runoff, and in particular also against the intensity of rain events. So
yeah, especially with like last year, the intensity of the rain, like bare soil was yeah. just had no resistance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that is the problem. We are already observing more and more intense rain events, also in regions where these were before not very frequent. So we need mm-hmm. to adapt our farm system.
Magic margins, like they're so interesting, and like their ability to help farmers could be really significant moving forward, because they're so flexible and they can adapt with the space that the farmer has, the needs of the farmer. What are the next steps?
As I say, we have a lot of positive responses from farmers, from the farming community about the magic margins. At the moment, we are looking really to quantify all these aspects, as I mentioned, in particular in relation to the effect of different species, the effect of diversity. So we wanted to quantify all these benefits, all these services, to then improve the design of magic margin, but also then to be able to have a sort of customized, let's say, magic margin, where we can suggest to use one species or another species, or maybe if we can use one species, can we obtain the same benefits with a smaller margin? Or if we want to use another species, do we need a larger margin? What is the relation with the slope of a field? So we want to quantify all these elements to then be able to better suggest what a farmer needed to use on his farm. Then, at the same time, we have several other projects that are looking at all the other solutions, especially nature-based solutions that we can put in a place to increase the sustainability of farming systems. For example, we have a project funded by the Scottish government, which is Healthy Soils for Green Recovery, which is looking at soil indicators for soil quality, soil health, and also different methods that we can have to improve soil health, which is again a key to manage nutrients and water on the farm. Then another example, it's a European project that is Legume ES, that is looking at all the ecosystem services that legumes can provide on a farm, mainly in terms of reducing the dependence of synthetic nitrogen fertilizers. So this is the main ecosystem services that these legumes can provide, but there are many others. And so we are looking at all these potential benefits that the legumes can provide, that, as I already mentioned, can be also another form of nature-based solution that we can integrate in this holistic system. So at the moment, we are looking to all these aspects in a different projects, and so we will be able in future to have many other suggestions for farmers to implement the management of their soil or their field or their farm engineering on different aspects.
No, that was so interesting. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us today. Wish you well with your development and honing of this critical management feature. And thank you for listening today. We'll save all links and documents that have been discussed throughout this podcast on the webpage. If you've enjoyed listening, please like, subscribe and follow our podcast wherever you listen to them. And please get in touch if you want to find out more. I'll put David's email on the webpage as well if you have any specific questions. So you can just let him know. Farming Water Scotland is funded by the Scottish Government and delivered by SEC Consulting in partnership with SEPA to help farmers and land managers reduce diffuse pollution risks and benefit the farm business.